It's the Brew Ha Ha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Hey, look, we have chocolate and beer. It is the Drive Hot Monk Brew Ha Ha, also brought to you by Della Tofola, the beer writer Jay Brooks back with us. Hey, dude.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see you. And, of course, my co-host Mark Carpenter.
How are we doing?
All right, man. We're going to begin by going live to Italy and her Linda. Apparently on the Skype machine. I'm so glad my people in Italy have a Skype machine for you.
Yes, they have. They seem to have everything that's awesome here in Italy.
Yes, I called the whoever the head of the Prime Minister of Italy. I called him and said, "Hey, this is Steve Vicario. Make sure Herlinda gets us a Skype machine." So there you go. All right, now tell everyone what you're doing and where you are and what the hell's going on.
So I am in Rimini, Italy, which is on the Adriatic coast on the east side of Italy, somewhat northern, not quite up to Venice, but it is 38 degrees. It's 2:20 a.m. here right now.
Nice.
I know. So we just got done walking 4 miles in 38 degrees, and my crazy European friends think it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cold here. So what I'm doing here is I am judging beer for the Birra dell'Anno, which is the beer of the year. And it is part of the Union Birre, which is kind of like the Brewers Association for the United States, where it's breweries and beer sommeliers and writers, et cetera, doing education and stuff here in Italy. And, of course, every time I told somebody I was coming to Italy to judge beer, they were a little perplexed because they thought of – everybody thinks of Italy for wine, of course.
Well, but it's I know. What is there, Peroni or something? I mean, but they do a lot of craft beer there.
Oh, there's huge numbers of craft brewers. Mm-hmm. I think right in Rimini you have two or three, don't you?
At least, yeah.
Yeah. There's quite a few here. So what we are doing – so we did one day already of judging. We do another one tomorrow. There's 100 judges from everywhere from Italy to Mexico, Sweden, Poland, Lithuania. There's only a couple of us from the U.S. Pete Slosberg is here, you know, Pete's Wicked Ales, and sure. Doug O'Dell. There are a couple of Americans that are judging. There's the most amount of women I've ever judged with. There's 100 judges. And probably, I think there's about 20 of us are women, which is unusual for what I've judged with, which is great.
Very cool. How long are you there?
I'm here for just a few more days. So on Saturday, there's a big trade show. It's a 4-day trade show and beer festival. So Rimini is kind of like it's a resort coastal town. So in the winter, of course, it dies down. So this is a good time for them to fill up the hotels with having a trade show and something when it's freezing out. There's all these beaches here, but everything is like, it looks like Coney Island, but deserted.
Well,
but it's pretty cool.
Herlinda, do you know how many beers you guys will be judging in total?
There is something like, I believe with 100 of us, I thought they said there was about 2,400 beers, something crazy.
Jeez.
Like that.
Now, are these world beers or just Europeans?
They are just Italian beers.
Oh, just Italian beers. Jeez. Oh, very
impressive.
Yeah, so
that's including all the styles. So, but also they have beers here like what most people don't think of. They have so I made sure I've been trying everything around here at the they have these great craft beer bars. So they have a grape ale. So I had one made with Cabernet grapes. It's a type of beer made with hops and malt. But to be able to be called a grape ale, it has to be 20% grape juice. And it was really good. It was a little bit sour, but I think Steve would actually like it because it does taste a bit like wine.
All right.
And then, of course, yeah, and this area is the Emilia-Romagna region of Italy. So there it's, you know, the home of tortellini. You know, we flew into Bologna and then took a bus up. We had tortellini handmade by a grandma at a restaurant.
Oh, geez.
You would have been you would have been in heaven.
All right,
guess who was at the beer trade show? Della Tofola.
Hey, cool.
I saw their booth. I took a picture of it. I'm going to take some more pictures when it's all finished setting up, and I'll send it to you guys because they're a sponsor. And immediately I saw it, and they wondered why I was getting so excited. And I was like, oh, they're one of our sponsors. So, yeah, Della Topola is here. But all the Italian breweries, that's who they use for a lot of their equipment, or German as well, of course.
A lot of people do here, too.
Have you had any chestnut beers while you've been there?
I did have a chestnut beer.
Mm-hmm. It's quite popular there.
First, I had one in London.
Okay.
They called it a hot chestnut ale. It was like Welton's, I believe the name was. And then I had a chestnut beer here at one of the bars. And it's something that they've been doing for, like ages here.
Yeah. Chestnuts. Chestnuts are quite common there, and so they like to use local ingredients. And as their craft beer scene got started, a lot of brewers were using
the
chestnut.
What does it taste like? Is it nutty?
Yes. You know, when you think of a nut brown ale.
A little nutty.
But then, you know, specifically that chestnut sort of
character. I love chestnuts.
You'd probably like some of those beers, yeah.
Bring some back.
Yeah, I am going to bring some back. I'm going to bring a grape ale back. I am looking at... some of the there's a grappa beer.
Now you're talking. I gotta try that.
And there's probably no law against adding liquor to beer in Italy.
Wow.
Probably not. I don't think they have laws against too many things except calling a pizza Napolitana if you didn't learn in Naples.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird here? I saw a marijuana vending machine.
Yeah, Mike sent me a message saying, ask about the weed cannabis vending machines. What the hell's going on there?
So marijuana is decriminalized here like it is in Portugal. It's not legal, though. So there was this vending machine just on a street. We were walking towards this crappy bar. We saw in the view of the Augustus Arch, which was Julius Caesar was actually Augustus's uncle. He was one of the Caesars.
Right.
It's the oldest surviving Roman arch in the world from 27 BC. And about 50 feet from it is a marijuana vending machine.
God bless my people. All right, we got to wrap.
God, the food.
When are you going to be back next week with us on Thursday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Ciao, Bella. I was going to say buonanotte, which means good night, but hell, it's 2:30 in the morning where you are, so I'd probably go back to buongiorno.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, too.
6 hours.
All right, we'll see you next week. Jay Brooks is back with us, beer writer, and of course, Mark Carpenter is my co-host here on the Hop Monk Brouhaha, also brought to you by Della Tofola. We're going to eat chocolate and compare it and pair it.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Yeah. This was Jay's idea. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. But
you got a lot of chocolate here, dude.
I got plenty I can share.
Oh, my God. Okay, Mike's in heaven. It's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Also brought to you by Della Tofola, who we just found out had a booth at the big beer tasting judging thing that her Linda is at in Italy. Della Tofola, if you're in the beer, wine, beverage industry, you know all about them. Joining us today on Brouhaha, besides my co-host, Mark Carpenter, beer writer Jay Brooks. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing? Great to be here.
Okay, man. So in a minute, we're going to do a pairing of chocolate and beer for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got some great beers here.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it. A boatload of chocolate, man. Mike, have you delved in yet? Oh, look out.
You will.
If you guys want any chocolate, better grab it quick.
You better pass that one over to Mike right now.
Oh, God. Okay, so we wanted to start with this whole controversy, apparently, that I've seen and heard about, but I haven't really read that much about it. Let me read the headline here. Time Magazine, time.com. Bud Light took a stance against corn syrup, but experts say that doesn't make beer better or healthier. What, Mark, talk about this controversy. It was a Super Bowl ad.
Yes, yeah. And I thought it was pretty funny because I think 30, 40 years ago, I forget the actual instance, but there was a couple of the big brewers got into it attacking each other. And over the years, I've never seen these challenges from brewer to brewer benefit the attacking brewer in any way. And I never. Don't think this was is going to either. I do think it's funny because Bud Light uses rice. Well, there's really no difference between corn syrup and rice. At all, corn syrup starts as sugar. The rice ends up as sugar after they get through cooking it and converting it. It all becomes sugar. And it's all ingredients in beer. Now, when I started brewing at Anchor, one of the things that made Anchor different was that we were all barley malt. And other brewers used corn or rice or corn syrup. And it was an item that set us apart. And so for a long time, that was one of the issues that set craft brewing apart. But now craft brewers, in fact, there was a time in the Brewers Association,
if you used beer,
mm-hmm. you couldn't be a craft brewer. It's right. silly. I never liked the association anyway. But,
really?
Now craft brewers use every ingredient under the sun. Look at these hazy IPAs with milk sugar and all kinds of crazy
corn
things,
flakes,
pectin
salon.
And corn flakes, mm-hmm. and so it's just putting everything together to come up with a beer that you may or may not like. But as I said on this show, you know, if you get a beer and you like it, fine. Don't worry about. What it's being made with, because I don't think there's any that are not being made with wholesome ingredients.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what was the controversy? Now, Bud Light, it says here, they really wanted people to know it does not use corn syrup in its beer. And who was pissed off about this? Was it Miller?
They didn't. It was Bud pointing out that Coors uses corn syrup. But they never said it's worse or it's bad. Yep. They just said they did it. Somehow they thought, okay, people are going to assume this is not a good thing. And we're better because we use rice. That one I don't get. Yeah. If they said we're only barley malt, maybe I could say, well, they might have
something, yeah. But no.
Jay, thoughts?
Well, you know, the BA definition, as Mark was talking about, made sense when most of the regional brewers did use corn or rice or some sort of what's called an adjunct in addition to just barley. And most of the early craft brewers did, in fact, only use all malt brewing, maybe some wheat, but no adjuncts. And so it made sense to differentiate yourself. But now that there's so many thousands of breweries, brewers are free to use whatever makes the best beer they can. And there's a lot of people who are doing what are called pre-prohibition beers, where they're going back and looking at old recipes which invariably called for corn or rice syrup. And so there isn't anything wrong with using them. It's more the intention and what it does. All the big brewers use it to cut costs. I mean, that's primarily why it was thought of as a bad thing, is because it wasn't to add flavor. It was to reduce the cost. And
so what did Coors respond? Are they?
I haven't seen. Yeah, they did. What did they say?
They did some funny tweet backs about.
Oh, good.
You know, about the rice issue, saying, yeah. you know, we use rice. And I've heard from a couple brewers who seem to know that while it's true that they don't use corn syrup in Bud Light, that there are other ABI products that, in fact, do use corn. I don't know which one specifically, but so they're using it, just not in that one beer they were advertising about, which seems like a really strange strategy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get these young punk interns at the advertising agency. Hey, let's do the corn syrup thing.
Yeah.
Well, these major brewers, they are light beer brewers. That's their major product. All their major brands are now their minor brands. I mean, the traditional Bud, traditional Coors, Miller High Life. Those are their minor brands these days. It's they're the
weird.
Light beer brewers, yeah.
That is
exactly
weird.
Right. Yep.
All right, Jay Brooks is here. What's your website?
It's a Brookston Beer Bulletin.
Yeah, okay. Talk about Bruxton Beer Bulletin. Who's Bruxton? Where is Bruxton? Why don't I know?
Well, that's a funny story, but Bruxton is
is
our family name in a strange way. My wife's last name is Johnston, and I'm Brooks, and we stuck them together. We actually had planned to put that in our vows. I think we did put it in our vows, but then we never got around to actually changing it. So when we had kids, our kids' legal name is, in fact, Bruxton.
Okay.
So there are three different names and four of us in the family.
And Bruxton is spelled?
B-R, like Brookstone, but no E.
Gotcha. So it's Bruxton?
Yes.
Beer?
Bulletin.
Bulletin.
Yeah, I like alliteration.
Apparently. So do I. So explain what it is you do as a beer writer and what you cover.
Well, I cover the beer industry and pretty much any aspect of it that you can come across. I judge quite a bit, so I do reviews, of course. I do consumer and trade writing. I do a syndicated newspaper column that's part of the Bay Area News Group that runs in about half a dozen newspapers.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about that last time. Yeah, that's big, man.
It reaches a lot of people, which is nice. I definitely hear from readers, and that's always gratifying.
It's an interesting blog that you can subscribe to pretty easily.
As we just learned.
I couldn't figure it out, and it's right in front of you. But it's an interesting column, and it usually has some good historical stuff in it.
I do try to.
Along with current stuff, yeah, some real good historical
stuff. Yeah.
So it is Valentine's Day, I'm told.
I
stopped celebrating many, many years ago because years, every time I tried on Valentine's Day, be it a boyfriend or a husband, I screwed up. So I just, now I'm single, I'm going, yeah, screw it, whatever. Okay, my funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine. Jay has brought a boatload of chocolate.
I did.
And some dark beers that we're going to talk about. Talk about it.
Sure. Well, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't think about, but beer and chocolate pair together really, really well.
In some ways, I think, and I'm a wine guy more than a beer guy, but I think in some ways, chocolate and beer even more so than chocolate and wine.
Absolutely do. And I think the reason is wine kind of, the wine just kind of rolls over the chocolate.
It takes it over.
Whereas the beer and the chocolate, the flavors really combine nicely. You get naturally chocolate flavors in a lot of darker beers because of the roasted malt. It brings out tobacco, it brings out roasted coffee, but you'll also get chocolate out of some of the malts too. So you've already got that going. I mean, you can pair chocolate really with any style of beer, but dark beers, that's the easy way to go.
I agree. And you brought this Sierra Nevada.
Mark did, yes.
Mark, you did. Explain what this is, because it's really good.
Sierra Nevada 30th anniversary bottle. And this was a collaboration between Fritz Maytag, my old boss, and Ken Grossman for their anniversary in 2010. Ken's very first brew at Sierra was a porter and stout.
Stout.
A stout, I'm sorry. And one of the first beers we made other than steam was a porter. And so both Fritz and Ken liked dark beers. And they decided to do a stout for this 30th anniversary. And they came up with a recipe, and they did it. And so this was in a large format bottle with a cork seal. And because it was their 30th anniversary, it was made in 2010. And as you drink it today, it tastes fantastic.
It does. And, geez, Jay, this chocolate.
Yeah.
It's, what is it? I can't read the. But
it's Lindt. I brought
Lindt.
Yeah, it's a Swiss chocolate, really good chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, I brought that and I brought some Hershey's just to kind of, balance it out. Hershey's is my childhood chocolate from, I grew up near Hershey, Pennsylvania. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So we spent a lot of time there as a kid. So
we'll have to take some time here because Mark's got a call.
I turn this thing off. Somehow it doesn't work.
Your kids?
It was actually my son-in-law.
Okay.
And he says, hold the phone. Steve Jackson is gay?
Of course
I
am.
Because you said, on Valentine's Day, whether it's a boyfriend or husband, I always,
As a boyfriend and as a husband.
I'm glad we clarified that.
Most of my friends are gay, and I love them all. But
absolutely.
I tried, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we could all share clothes.
As bad at being gay as being heterosexual. Huh?
Yeah, and I'm not good at either. hello to Mark's son-in-law. Very good. He's listening. And Mike's cracking up. I don't know. Maybe I'm gay. I don't care.
So, you know, you're talking
not
about
that there's anything wrong with that, as we always say. Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld always said.
Yeah. We're talking
God,
about
that's
chocolate.
Good chocolate.
There's actually a style of malt that's called chocolate malt. Mm-hmm. It's roasted not as much as black malt. And so when you use chocolate malt, you really do tend to get these chocolate flavors.
So, Jay, is that part of what this Sierra Nevada 30th anniversary is?
I'm not sure if they use chocolate malt. Like I say, it comes out of almost any roasted malt. You'll get some of that chocolate. The chocolate malt that he's talking about specifically has chocolate notes, and if the brewer is trying for that, wants that flavor in the beer, they'll use some of that malt.
I took a taste of this a while ago, just the beer, and it tasted very chocolatey in many ways to me.
Absolutely.
But then when I eat this, a bite of this chocolate and take a sip. Oh, my God.
It just comes out, which is why they're so good together. Yeah, I think it was Fred Eckert. I mean, you knew Fred, right?
Yeah.
He started doing beer and chocolate dinners back in the 1980s.
Wow.
And, he had some insight on that, and it really took off from there. There's a local chef, Bruce Patton, who started doing Valentine's Day dinners, chocolate and beer together when he was at the Cathedral Hill Hotel in San Francisco. And those were just some of the most amazing dinners because
this is
a great combination.
9.2 alcohol.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's
that's
a nice
why I
beer.
Took a sip.
I don't know how much it still of it is available. I wouldn't be surprised if you could still find some around.
Maybe somewhere in somebody who keeps archive, beer store like that.
You said
that.
This came out 9 years ago?
Yeah.
Yes, 2010. And so if you do find it, I'm really impressed with how this has held up. Ken's always been good at making beers at last. It has yeast in the bottle, which helps. So it's really a great beer.
It really is. What else did you bring? And let's switch from this incredible chocolate to Hershey's.
There you
which
go.
Is, absolutely. You know, everybody loves Hershey's.
It's a classic American chocolate. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have as much cacao as like the Lindt does. That's a feature of American chocolate that it has more adjuncts, I guess. I'm not sure what they call it in the chocolate world.
Mike, did you eat some of this? Oh, you're going to go nuts.
Jay, pick a second beer here for you.
Okay. Well, let's go with the Black Butte Porter. That is another. Yeah, I've got one too. In fact, the same one.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from where?
This is from Bend, Oregon, Deschutes Brewery.
Okay.
This was initially their flagship beer. And it was unusual when they started that somebody would have a dark beer as their flagship. It happened somewhat organically. They didn't pick it. In fact, they didn't think it was going to be their best-selling beer, but initially it was. Now, Mirror Pond probably is a little more than that, and so they kind of have two
these
flagships.
These days,
and some of their one-offs, too.
Yeah, they're fresh squeezed.
Right. There's yeah.
Is that their biggest, do we know?
I'm not sure if it is. I would think Mirror Pond still is probably number one, but they definitely sell a lot of fresh squeezed, too.
Squeeze.
It is really nice.
And again, the brewery is called what?
Deschutes. It's
Deschutes.
It's in Bend, Oregon. And, most of their names come from the geographic area. I think there's some Deschutes Mountains, maybe?
Okay.
I forget exactly where, but it's something
river.
Like that. That's right. It's a river.
Yeah. Okay. I have to say, I took a bite of this Hershey's, and I've loved Hershey's since I was a youngster.
Probably should have gone the other way.
Probably should have started with the Hershey's because the Swedish? Lid. This is the Swedish?
Swiss.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm sorry, Hershey, but it's far superior. But I took a bite and took a sip of the Oregon.
Right. It's a different
beer.
Way of making chocolate in America as opposed to Europe. You know, we mentioned Pete Schlossberg, who's over in Italy with Herlinda right now.
Yeah.
Pete, after he sold Pete's Wicked Ale, the beer company, he started a chocolate company, actually.
Yeah, I remember.
Pete's Cocoa. Pete is also a good friend of mine, so he's taught me a bit about chocolate making, which has been a lot of fun, obviously.
Mark, I'm not seeing you eat chocolate. Is there a reason?
Oh, I've been having...
Oh, okay.
You've been nibbling, I think.
We got to do traffic while I eat more chocolate and Michael Green can't. Sorry. All righty, then. We're wrapping up today's Drive Brouhaha, the Hop Monk Brouhaha, also brought to you by Della Tofola. Herlinda's in Italy. We talked to her earlier. It was 2:30 in the morning there, so I didn't know whether to say buonanotte for good night or buongiorno
for good morning.
But she's going to bed for a while. Yeah. Anyway, Jay Brooks, beer writer, is with us. He lives in Cotati, and we just talked about how much we love Cotati.
Indeed.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's right. Hersheyland.
Near there, yeah. I call it Dutch Wonderland, the whole area. And there's an amusement park there called Dutch Wonderland that I just call the whole region that by that name now that I live somewhere else. But
yeah, and in PA, it's mid-state? I forget.
Where I lived was Reading was about equidistant between the middle and Philadelphia, maybe an hour and a quarter from Philly.
I'm a big Philly fan. We used to spend a lot of time there when I was growing up in Detroit. Yeah, I love it. Except that we were there in 2016, broadcasting live from the Democratic Convention in Philly. It was hell on earth.
I believe
that. It was like 180 degrees every day, and then the rains came, it was just... Anyway, I still love Philly.
Just not the weather.
All right. Mark, wrap us up here.
Listen, none of us can go home until we finish all these dark beers we have.
That's right.
We have quite a nice selection here. We've got the Shadow of Doubt Imperial Porter from Russian River. We've got Lagunitas Coffee Stout. We have an Arrogant Bastard Ale from Stone. Actually, that's one of the flagship beers that we've been talking about.
In fact, that's today's flagship. Essay was written by Brandon Hernandez, who's in San Diego.
Ah, okay. Very good. And Stone certainly done a lot for IPA in building building the bitterness.
Indeed. Stone IPA was an early classic,
It's Southern California where it really became a chili-eating contest with the IPAs.
Indeed, yes.
How many hops can you take?
Yeah.
And it changed that world. What else? We're having the one we're drinking now
we're having Deschutes Black Butte Porter from Bend, Oregon.
So a lot of nice beers.
Yeah. Mike's giving me the sign here. Willoughby's. Quickly, talk about Willoughby's because you love it, and they're one of our sponsors here.
Oh, I love Willoughby's.
They're in Petaluma and Santa Rosa.
And I'm sure you could get all of these beers there with the possible section of the Sierra 30th anniversary. Although, if you put in a request there, they might be able to find you a bottle. They're good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they really know what they're doing. Yeah. It's always great to have beer writer Jay Brooks with us. Jay, thanks so much, man.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right. Mark, we'll see you next Thursday.
You got it, buddy.
Okay. Have a great night.